Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Jam-packed show coming your way today. A lot of stuff to get into. Missed y'all immensely. Obviously, I need a couple of days off Thursday and Friday to handle some personal business. But I'm back in the saddle. NBA playoffs are about to begin. We're going to get into all of that, the matchups, the expectations that come with it. No doubt about that, along with a host of other things to get into. But believe it or not, we're going to do that golf right now. We're going to do that golf. I'm going to start off on that because Rory McIlroy is a subject that can't be avoided, nor can it be delayed. Wins the 2026 Masters yesterday, back-to-back Masters championships. This is what he has done. Make no mistake about it. Joining Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, and Nick Faldo, becoming the fourth, the first back-to-back Masters champion since Tiger Woods, but the fourth overall to do it in Masters history. I was fascinated about this. I'm not a golf aficionado. I'm going to learn some of it this summer, meaning I'm going to get on the course and play. I played a few times in my life, but that was only at charity events. I am not a golfer. I don't know golf like that. I've watched it, obviously, on several occasions. I pay attention to what's going on, partly because it's my job, partly because I was fascinated with the arrival of Tiger Woods and what he did for the sport. But I found myself this weekend incredibly interested because I remember what happened to Rory McIlroy in 2011 and how that had plagued him, that choke job that he put forth in 2011, and how that had plagued him for years until he came back and won the Masters last year. Of course, you were waiting to see what would happen. This year, what made it interesting is what this dude was doing. This brother rolled up into Saturday's third round after 36 holes with a six-stroke lead. I didn't watch much of it. I just watched the highlights here and there, or I caught a little bit of glimpse of it here and there Thursday and Friday. Saturday was when I sat down and really, really began watching it. And when I saw this brother just wet in the bed and literally choking and collapsing before our very eyes, it was unlike something I hadn't seen in a long time. It was like a choke job. There was no way around it. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And I was utterly shocked at what was taking place before our very eyes. The man had a six-stroke lead, briefly lost the lead, and walked into Sunday. Okay, walked into Sunday after 54 holes, tied the co-leader. He was the co-leader with Cameron Young. And was tied. And then the next thing you know, Sunday comes along, and he falls behind by two shots. I'm like, oh my God, this is so bad. This is so bad. But ultimately came back, all right, and did what he needed to do, posted a 71, despite a bogey on the 18th hole to win by one stroke, finishing the tournament 12 under 276. And obviously he captured the Masters. And I thought it was fascinating because to me, when you see stuff like that, I mean, one of the questions that it begs from you is, all right, when you face that level of adversity, the way Rory McIlroy faced, and you overcome it, what that says about you. Because a lot of times people look, he's already a great golfer, you know, and obviously hitting off the tee, the brother, I mean, he can smack that ball about 250 plus yards. He can do stuff like that. That's what Rory McIlroy could do. But what I'm saying is this, when you squander a lead and then you turn around and you gain it back and you end up winning the championship, I think that does wonders for you. That's just my personal opinion. I think that does wonders for you. I think that we have to look at a guy like Rory McIlroy, and whatever we thought about him, we got to think more about him as we're sitting here and evaluating and contemplating, you know, just the future of golf with him in it right now. That's how we have to look at this. Because I'm looking at a guy like Scheffler who was coming up. Remember, he was 12 shots back and pulled within three shots. Pulled within three shots. And I'm looking at that and I'm like, okay, here he comes. To know that this man is coming up the rear, to know that he's coming for you. What do you say? What do you say for Rory McIlroy to hold him off? What about Rose? Three-time runner-up at Augusta National after losing to McIlroy in a playoff last year. Started the final round three strokes behind McIlroy and Young, but closed the first nine with three straight birdies to move to 12 under for a two-stroke lead when he made the turn. But obviously on the 11th, I mean, what do you say? He hit that shot, pushed it far right, chipped over a bunk on his third shot, couldn't make a 15-footer for the par, bogeyed. The bogey dropped him to 11 under, tying him with McIlroy. All right? Rose Tee shot on the 12th was long and left. He clunked that. So, ultimately, that ended up spelling his doom, and he wasn't able to recover. In the end, it comes down to 1 over 73 for McIlroy. One day after going 1 over 73, reopened the field because he was so far away from everybody, and then the next thing you know, because of his collapse on Saturday, he let about 8 or 9 dudes back in the mix. But responded with the 71, despite closing the bogey on the 18th, finished 12 under 276, just like I said. Good for the one-shot victory. I was fascinated by it, and I don't get fascinated too much by golf. I ain't going to lie to you. But I was fascinated by that, just watching him, because it does take a elevated level of strength and intestinal fortitude to ward off that. Because panic sets in. Palms get sweaty, asses get tight. Let's just call it what it is. That's what happens. You get a bit nervous, you panic, and you ain't able to do what you're accustomed to doing. And ultimately, that gets the better of you. That's what I expected from Rory McIlroy. That's what did not happen. And as a result, he ended up winning back-to-back Masters, only the fourth dude in history to do so. Got to give props where props is due. No doubt about it. Congratulations to Rory McIlroy for doing what he did. He deserved a lot of praise. Scheffler, like I said, put himself back in the hunt for a third green jacket with a 7-under 65 on Saturday. Got back in the mix. Made two early birdies in the final round, then carded 11 straight pars before the birdies at numbers 15 and 16. I just watched this, and I watched him creeping up, and I'm like, when you got a cat that great, number one golf in the world, nipping at your heels, and how you going to respond to that? These are the kind of things that I look for. These are the kind of things that sports is made for. This is why I never want to leave this business, because somehow, some way, as you get older, the excitement doesn't dissipate. You don't find yourself bored. It's a bit more challenging to be excited once you've seen everything. I get that part. But ultimately, something always happens. That's miraculous. That's extraordinary or what have you. And you find yourself looking at it and marveling at it and saying to yourself, okay, this is what it's all about. I like this. So again, props to McIlroy. Props to Scheffler for coming out and doing what he did. Sorry for Rose, who continues to be a runner-up, can't get it done, all right? And we'll just see what happens moving forward, no doubt. But the Masters is the Masters. Would have been nice to see Tiger there, but I think Tiger's done, you know? Can't be a black man talking golf and never mention Tiger Woods. That's why I'm bringing him up, even though obviously he wasn't a participant for obvious reasons, and we don't need to belabor that. But in the end, that's what it really, really comes down to. And so, it is what it is. Rory McIlroy just became the sixth golfer to complete the career Grand Slam, joining Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Ben Hogan, Gene Sarazen, all right? Became only the fourth golfer to repeat as champions, like I said earlier, all right? It's Rory's sixth win in a major. He also won a 2011 U.S. Open, 2012 and 2014 PGA Championship, 2014 Open Championship, and 2025 Masters. So 11 years after he had last won a major, he turned around and won a Masters last year and now did it again this year and is now finished in the top 10 and 9 of his last 13 Masters. This is Rory McIlroy we're talking about. Some of his major misses, final round, 80 at the 2011 Masters. Cameron Smith stealing the 2022 British Open from him. Failing to catch Wyndham Clark at the 2023 U.S. Open. Two missed short putts at Pinehurst, as Bryson DeChambeau snagged the 2024 U.S. Open, just to name a few. But in the end, that's what happened. In the end, Rory McIlroy sits here as the 2026 Masters champion, another green jacket, back-to-back green jackets. He deserves a lot of credit, and I enjoyed watching. Again, I watched little bits here and there, Thursday, Friday. Saturday was when I was watching. And when I had to hop in my car, I was listening to Mad Dog Sports Radio. SiriusXM. And it was fascinating to listen to, and it was fascinating to watch. You know, and then Sunday, obviously, was what Sunday was. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Got a bunch of NBA stuff to get into. You know, you got the Clippers and the Warriors for the play-in. All right, you got, you know, Miami and Charlotte for the play-in. You got Philadelphia and Orlando for the play-in as well. So you got all of that going on in the NBA, make no mistake about it. I'm looking at the top six seeds and who's scheduled to go against one another in the first round come this weekend. Let me get this out the way. Los Angeles Lakers likely don't get swept. I hope I'm wrong. Okay? I really, really, really do. Phoenix and Portland, I forgot to mention them as the play-in as well. And props to the Phoenix Suns, winning 45 games this year, even after moving Kevin Durant up out of there. They still won 45 games this year. Props to the Phoenix Suns. And the Portland Trailblazers got some young thoroughbreds on their squad that we need to pay attention to, make no mistake about it. So let me not negate giving them some love. But of all of these series going on, okay, you got a situation right here. Let's just break it down so everybody understands what it is. You got the Detroit Pistons scheduled to go up against whoever's going to be the eighth seed. You got the Boston Celtics scheduled to go up against whoever's going to be the seventh seed in the East. You got the New York Knicks scheduled to go up against the Atlanta Hawks. Okay? And you have the Cleveland Cavaliers scheduled to go up against the Toronto Raptors. That's in the Eastern Conference. I'll get to all of that in a second. Out West, you got the Oklahoma City Thunder as the number one seed, scheduled to go up against whoever's going to end up being the eighth seed. You got the San Antonio Spurs, scheduled to go up against whoever's going to be the seventh seed. You've got the Denver Nuggets going up against the Minnesota Timberwolves, a 3-6 seed, which could potentially go seven games. Remember, Minnesota's been to back-to-back conference finals appearances. So who knows what could happen with that. Can't ignore that. Okay? And then, of course, at the 4 and 5 slot, you got the Los Angeles Lakers being the fourth seed going up against the Houston Rockets. I feel bad for the Lakers because if Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves were healthy, I would have picked the Lakers to beat the Houston Rockets. Because I don't like what I've seen from Houston in clutch time this year. I don't like what I've seen from their point guard play in terms of somebody steering the ship and just controlling things. For the life of me, I do not understand how the Houston Rockets at the NBA trading deadline did not go out and get a point guard. I do not know how you didn't fly to Los Angeles and get on your knees and beg Chris Paul to come and be your point guard just for the remainder of the season and give him one last chance at a championship run. I don't know how you did not do that. Because when I see CP3 and his ability to run a show, to keep you organized and stable, not turning the basketball over, that kind of point guard, I don't understand how the Houston Rockets didn't go out and get somebody. Maybe not him specifically, but at least somebody. I don't know how they did not do that. But nevertheless, I believe they have lucked up because despite their troubles in the fourth quarter, despite their propensity for turnovers during that period of time, despite their lack of clutch in critical moments, the Houston Rockets should have their way with the Los Angeles Lakers. They have a superstar in Kevin Durant, who at age 37 still looks like one. They have a bunch of dudes that are 6'8 and taller. They can have dudes 6'8 and taller on the court with them at all times. They can literally start four dudes that are 6'11 and taller. They're a top six team defensively. And they're going up against a Lakers team that has to rely on LeBron James to look 10 to 15 years younger, who's 41 years of age in his 23rd season, who doesn't have the help that he desperately needs in order to offset what a Houston Rockets team can end up going throwing at them. He doesn't have the help. It's just that simple. What are you going to say? without Luka Doncic, who was averaging 38 for you, without Austin Reeves, who was averaging 28-plus for you, what you going to rely on? DeAndre Ayton? Marcus Smart? Jared Vanderbilt? Rui Hachimura? Who you going to rely upon? I just don't see it. I think the Lakers will be lucky to win a game. I can go like I did in 2001 and go the route of saying, AI, I'll get you one. When I was talking about Allen Iverson against the Los Angeles Lakers in the finals, and he certainly did give you one when he dropped 48 in game one and stepped over Ty Lue before losing four straight. I certainly could look at LeBron James and say, LeBron James could get you one. But I don't see how he could do much more than that. I just don't see it. I'm sorry. I wish I could see otherwise. I just don't get it. Now, if the Lakers take this series late, like deep into like 6 or 7 game series, Luka and AR could potentially be back by then, according to reports. I don't know. But I know this much. Without them, I don't give the Lakers any chance whatsoever of winning this series. At all, of winning more than a game. And I'm not saying that I got the broomsticks ready, but I'm right at the closet door with my hand on the knob, getting ready to open the damn closet to pull out the broomstick. I can tell you that much. If it ain't a sweep, it's a gentleman's sweep. You ain't winning 2 games against Houston with this bunch. I can't see it. And it's a damn shame because I think that J.J. Redick has done a hell of a job along with his coaching staff. I think that LeBron James has been a superstar this year when it has really counted. And I think that what he has done this year, he is definitely, there's nobody, you want to talk about GOAT status, I'm going to give him love where it's due. There is nobody that I can think of in the history of sports that has been this good, this consistently for this long. Now, LeBron at his best, over MJ, MJ all day, every day. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about GOAT status. But that doesn't mean that MJ was that great for as long as LeBron James has been this great. And I got to give him respect and pay homage where it's due. This is not his fault. And let me tell you something people should be embarrassed about. I'm sick and tired of watching this man at age 41 now, in his 23rd year in the season. How the hell he healthy and Luka Doncic and A.R. Reeves and Austin Reeves ain't healthy? I mean, when does the shame kick in? And I'm just using them as an example to all these NBA players out here. If the man is known as spending $1.5 million on his body to keep healthy, right? Why the hell ain't you doing it? You making enough money if you're the average NBA player. League average salary is over $10 million a year. Quite a few of y'all are getting paid $40, $50 million a year. How come you can't take care of your body the way LeBron James takes care of his body? I mean, damn. Where's your pride? Where's your dignity? I'm just wondering about that. That's how I feel about it. I'm just saying. Doesn't anybody find that a tad bit odd that we sit here today and the Lakers got 2 injured stars on their team and neither of them are LeBron James? Luka's in his 20s. If I remember correctly, so is Austin Reeves. LeBron is 41. They injured, he healthy. How? How? I just don't get it. If anybody that's looking for me to talk about the New York Knicks, here's the only thing I'm going to say. You cannot go home in the first round at the hands of the Atlanta Hawks. It cannot happen. It can not happen. We walked into the season primarily due to the Achilles tear to Jason Tatum. Damian Lillard and Tyrese Halliburton. We walked into the season knowing all three had Achilles tears. Tom Thibodeau was gone. You wanted him gone. The grit and the grind that was associated with New York Knicks were personified by him. You got the Landry Shamets. You got me, Shamets. You've got the Jordan Clarksons, where you got these people. Yo, you cannot go home in the first round at the hands of the Atlanta Hawks. If you lost to Boston, that would be different. If you lost to Detroit, that would be different. If you lost to an offensive juggernaut, potentially, like a Cleveland Cavaliers squad, who are suspect defensively, that would make sense. You cannot lose to the Atlanta Hawks in the first round if you are the New York Knicks. If they do, heads are going to roll, and it should. Mike Brown might not be there next year they lose this series. Karl Anthony Towns, Mikal Bridges, people like that, they may not be here if you lose this series. Cannot lose in the first round. You better not lose. I don't believe they will. I'm picking the Knicks. I have faith. But you cannot lose this series. If they lose this series to the Atlanta Hawks, change is a-coming. It is that simple, and it should, damn it. It should if they lose this series. I ain't apologizing for that to nobody. Excuse the double negative. Nobody. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. This is the NBA play-in schedule. Okay? Tomorrow night, Miami visits Charlotte, 7:30 Eastern time. Okay? Portland goes up against Phoenix. All right? Wednesday, of course, Orlando visits Philadelphia. And then the Golden State Warriors visit the Los Angeles Clippers. I'm interested in all of them for different reasons. Miami, I want to see what Charlotte does in a play-in game in Charlotte with an opportunity to go to the postseason. They'll have to win two games. I want to see what Orlando does. I want to see what Philly does, rather, because Orlando, you had to go over games Boston last night. How do you lose to Boston? Boston doesn't play anybody. How did you let that happen? Of course, Phoenix and Portland is very interesting. And I'm very, very pleased with Phoenix and what they've been able to do. They deserve a lot of credit, no doubt about it. And Devin Booker is just that dude. Won 45 games this year after trading Kevin Durant. Major props to them. But, of course, Golden State visiting the Los Angeles Clippers. Let's see what Kawhi Leonard's going to do. Let's see what Steph Curry's going to do. That's always a treat. This will probably be the last time you see Steph Curry this year. Unless they answer the call against the Clippers, we shall find out. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with your calls and more in a minute.